Okay, next up on the agenda is the executive order on school start after Labor Day, the public discussion. Just to level set here, just by background, obviously we all know about the governor's executive order. There are strong feelings from any number of members of the board about that. We as a board obviously have to give some clarity to districts so they can move forward, and we have a responsibility to faithfully execute laws of the land. But obviously there are concerns that were raised in the Attorney General's opinion about the authority of this board and things that have been raised by members of this board. So this is just our opportunity as a board to discuss this, decide how to move forward. And the floor is going to be open. Dr. Gates is going to go first, but then we will just throw it open from there. Dr. Gates.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. First of all, let me do something here. Just click on my send button. I have just sent out a letter to the governor, to both of the leader of the House and the Maryland Senate. And the letter is a letter of resignation from this board, as well as my duties here. It's resignation from the position of vice president. And the letter explains my reasons for doing this. I didn't do this lightly. I have had the great pleasure of serving on this board for over 7 years now, going into eight. I have become an enormous fan of the work that goes on in this building. I recognize the value to the state of Maryland under the leadership of Dr. Grasmick, Dr. Lowry, and now Dr. Salmon, of what this department has done for our state. I often think of this as the department of the future. You know, we have departments, highways, construction, but Maryland's future is being constructed here. And in the presence of this order, I have to tell you, I've had to reflect on a number of things. I actually went back and reread part of a report. It's called Public Education in Maryland, a report on Maryland Education, on the Maryland Educational Survey Commission. It was written in 1916 by Flexner and Bachman. And so I was thinking about that because, first of all, it gives us some historical retrospective. And I always like, when I have big decisions, I always like to look backwards and see what was going on. They have a description of 23 counties, approximately 200,783 white students, 44,475 colored students, and a description of a teaching force of 5,000 white teachers and almost 1,000 colored teachers. That's what our state looked like in 1916. We move forward in that report, and there's some very interesting things, I think, that were set out as principles that, as far as I understand the history of our state, these are our foundations. And what I just want to read you part of a paragraph. It says, public education in America has developed most satisfactorily in those states in which a judicious combination of state and local authority has been effected. The reason is simple. The influence of the state makes for unity of design and uniformity of standards. Local initiative ensures the interest, effort, pride, and sacrifice of the community to which the school belongs. The public school system in Maryland is of this prevailing American type. The state determines the general outlines, while the details are largely managed by local authorities. This was laid out in 1916 as the way that our school system of this state should work. And when I agreed to serve on this body, I was given this as the set of the ground rules for how service on this board works. Now, in the recent times, we've heard comments about unnamed bureaucrats. I am not an unnamed bureaucrat. I'm a citizen of the state. I'm a private citizen of the state. I, like all of my fellow board members, serve on this board with no payment. This is done out of our dedication to the future of this state. And during the tenure of my last 7 years, the driving facts for me were that I had, A, put two children through education in Maryland. My children are now in their second year of graduate school, so we've done okay. It was not without struggle. But what I think about is the fact that I'm a college professor, my wife is a medical doctor, and we had to step in as parents and engage the system in order to get the quality of education that we desired for our children. What about all of those children who don't have a college professor as a father and a doctor as a mother? Who advocates for them? Well, I was given to understand that that was my role here on the board. And given the ground rules for what I've seen so far, that independence was valued from the creation of the system, for me, the recent activities have made me extraordinarily uncomfortable with what may, in fact, jeopardize the future of thousands and thousands of young Marylanders. For me, this is intolerable. I was having difficulty sleeping over the last couple of weeks because of activities that have occurred. And so for me, I've had to send this letter of resignation. I don't feel I had any choice. I'm speaking, obviously, for myself and not for the board, but I would really hope that there would be a vigorous discussion in the state about what it means to have an independent board advocating for the young people of Maryland, and that that board's independence is sanctioned by state law, and I think it needs to be protected. So all I can tell you is I have been honored to be part of this great organization. I will miss the many friends that I have made in this venue of my life. I remain available if people wish to consult with me privately about my experiences, about the history, about the lessons I've learned. I'm very happy to share those, but I cannot continue to work in the conditions that have now been set up. And so, effective the end of this meeting, Andy, I'm sad to say I have to turn in my resignation.
Well, obviously, we're all going to miss you beyond words, and I think we'll all have something to say about that. I will miss you as much, if not more, than anyone. You've been a terrific mentor, as thoughtful and kind, as judicious a colleague as I could have. You'll be missed. Jeffrey?
Yes, we are. Three of us were appointed at the same time, and we're in our eighth year. And we've worked hard, all of us have worked hard, to ensure that we have the best system so that kids can succeed. And, our responsibility is to make decisions and be the leader for education in the state. And that is being challenged, and a lot of us are really very, very concerned about this. And we need to make sure that we rally around this problem that we have in terms of the executive order. And so I feel that we're losing a good person. And a lot of us have a lot of concerns about this. And, if you do one thing like this, you may expect others. And so sometimes you have to try to make the best stand you can. And so I feel that, we need to use every opportunity to make sure that we have our role and responsibility that was set up for us as those who lead education in Maryland.
Thank you, Madhu.
This is too emotional. Dr. Gates, what you have contributed to... I'll start again. This is really emotional. What Dr. Gates has contributed and continues to do to the children of Maryland to guide us to high expectations, to walk the walk, to talk the talk. It has been absolutely the richest experience in my life. I always say that. I said 10 years ago that was the richest experience in my life, and 10 years before that, and 10 years before that. I love hard work. And we've done it. We fought for the kids. We will keep fighting for the kids. This executive order from the governor is a real encroachment on our psyche and our purpose and how we work. We're always looking to see how to serve kids, how to have them successful, what's the balance, what's not too much, what's not too little. But it goes way beyond that. It goes way beyond education. I just feel when I read the second order, I felt like somebody boxed me. That was my first feeling. Up front and at the back. We've always been looking for ways to expand school. And every time we talk about that, the money issue comes in. We really do need to expand our school year. We are working with what was right 50 years ago, the summer. We know it doesn't work for kids, but what is holding us from making sure there is no summer gap, summer slide? But this feeling of feeling boxed in, Dr. Gates, I'm almost where you are. This is so wrong that I don't know where we will settle or what we will do. But I cannot say it any stronger that not only we have been, I really think we have, our, as a board, tightened or diminished. I don't want to use the wrong word. But look what we are losing because of the way it is being done. This board should be the one to setting up those dates. And I know that every member here would expand the calendar instead of contracting it. I know that. I don't know anyone who would say otherwise. But I know it's an executive order. We will have to deal with it. But it should not have been the ton of bricks that has been put on these shoulders. Dr. Gates, I have to say congratulations for your moral values and for your character. We will miss you. Maryland will miss you. But there are no other ways to say than congratulations on, I recognize you as a person of very high morals and character. And we need to demonstrate that. That's what we teach kids. That's what we expect from our schools.
Ms. Madu, I'm not moving to Virginia.
Well, that's a very good thing. Thank you.
Dr. Finn? We'll return to the executive order, I think, in a short while, but let me just say about Dr. Gates. I had bumped into him at various meetings and conferences over the years, but didn't really get to know him until this joint venture started about 14 months ago for me, much longer ago for him. And he's really been he's a physicist, okay? So he's become a fundamental particle. He's an electron or a neutron or
a proton.
Or a proton or maybe a quark. And still thinking in physics terms, Newton. Let's switch to Newton. If the only equal and opposite reaction to the executive order turned out to be Jim Gates's departure from this board, the executive order would still have been a mistake. There's more to be said about it, but that would be loss enough. We'll miss you a great deal.
Mrs. Ard.
I just want to speak to Dr. Gates because I know we'll get back to the executive order. As I'm finishing up my first year and now going into my second year, I just want to thank you because you have been such a great example and model for me what decency and order is on a board. And I respect you so much. I appreciate the impact you made on my students when you came to my school and spoke to my students. And they were fascinated on all the things he knew, but most of all that he's a tax guy. So my kids will remember that. But on a personal note, from his busy schedule where he travels back and forth, after a board meeting, he spent the evening with my son, a 22-year-old, who had so many questions about physics. But the imprint he made on my 22-year-old made this mother very proud. So I thank you. I thank you for your service to the state and for your time to speak to my son. Thank you.
Let me just say I wish I was a better person than I am.
Oh,
I do.
No.
I do all that I can, but as I like to tell my wife, who reminds me, I'm very much aware of my deficiencies.
Dr. Gates, I just want to thank you as well. I'm having a moment of feeling like I missed my opportunity for personal physics tutoring. We'll have to talk later.
He's not moving to Virginia.
Oh, good point. Good point. I just want to say thank you, and your integrity speaks volumes to this board, and I very much appreciate your serious intent.
Yes, please.
Ditto. Dr. Gates, I think you're one of the wisest people I know, and I haven't gotten to know you as long. I was hoping I'd get to know you even better. I'm really sorry that you're leaving us. It's just, you know, I feel like our lives are richer with you as part of our board. So we're really going to miss you. Thank you.
Might as well keep going around the table.
Yeah, let's do it this way.
Dr. Gates, I have just come on the board and have hardly had a chance to get to know you, but having served on a local board, I have followed the work of the Maryland State Board of Education for a long time, and you and your fellow members and those before you even have served with great pride and dignity and really have always stood up for what's in the best interest of the children of Maryland. And I wish we could work together longer and I could learn more from you, and but unfortunately that's not going to happen. You will be missed, and good luck in your future endeavors, and I can almost guarantee we'll be calling on you for some more.
Mr. Demo?
I've only been on the board for about 3 months now, but at each opportunity that I've seen Dr. Gates, I've always been very impressed and really inspired by your thoughtfulness and the perspective that you bring. And speaking not just as a board member, but also as a student, I think the possibilities that you represent, the achievements that you have and your humility and your entire character is really a testament to who you are as a person. And I'm just very thankful that I've had the opportunity to serve with you. I'm sad that you won't be continuing on the board, but thank you for everything that you've done.
I just think, Dr. Gates is the epitome of the perfect board member, above and beyond. And I mean, those of us who know him know that that's actually that's being humble about him, actually. And I think that he is a beautiful grounding force for this board. I don't know, those who work with him may understand. He's thoughtful, he's kind, he's wise. He's a hard worker, and he's incredibly generous. And I know also, like Stephanie, on a personal level, just what an intense personal influence he's been on my own family, for which I can never thank him enough. And I will segue a little bit into the executive order situation, because I think that any decision from the administration that makes serving on a board unpalatable to a man like this, who is perfect for this position and has so much to offer, is the wrong decision for this state.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well said.
Dr. Gates, when I grow up, I want to be like you.
What a compliment.
I certainly...
I'm going to have to tell you a joke about... So there, the joke goes, there's a young physicist who doesn't get promoted. He goes to his chairman's office, and the chairman listens to his complaints. And there was another faculty member who was promoted, a young lady. So he's a theorist, and he says, you know, I'm willing to get the operation, but I'm not going to become an experimentalist.
I would like to say that I felt a very special connection with you in many levels. Not only am I going to miss looking at your screen and trying to figure out the magic that you have stored there. We have this internal thing related to this screen.
Watching cartoons.
No, it's actually science. You know, we share that passion and that love for science, being my background in biology and general sciences. And, you know, it was such a great joy to be able to converse with someone who is as passionate as I am about STEM. Have that opportunity, you know, in this setting was absolutely fantastic. I'm certainly going to miss that. But you as a role model, as a minority like myself, you know, I was looking forward to so many lessons. And I'm going to get them because I'm going to be calling you no matter what. But I really appreciate how easily it was for me to be able to talk to you. You enable me, you know, so easily to be able to open the communication about so many things at so many levels. And I'm really very sad that I'm not going to have the opportunity to have you at the board. I mean, I have to say I'm lucky and I'm blessed because, you know, you all offer different things, and I admire you in so many different ways, and I'm looking forward to learning from you. I'm just not going to have my STEM buddy, and that's going to be hard on me. So you'll be missed.
Dr. Salmon.
So I was a younger superintendent when you had your first year on the board, and you sat over there. And I had a chance to watch and to learn from you very early on. Was always pretty much in awe of you because I'd never known a physicist up close before. So I did have a chance to meet your wonderful wife, who is a physician. And Diana told me that, I told her, I said, I am so amazed by your husband. And she looked me right in the eye and she said, well, Karen, he still takes out the trash every night. So I just thought I'd share that little levity because I know we've been kind of down in the dumps. I think what I probably am right where Andy is, and that is, you know, I was looking forward to your continued leadership this year as a new state superintendent. And I know that I will probably still need your counsel as we move forward, but I have found you to be a pleasure to work with, and I think it was really evidenced yesterday. I really felt a great connection with the board yesterday. I think we had a great retreat, and you were part of making that happen yesterday. So I will miss you, and I thank you for your service to the children of Maryland, and please stay in touch.
She's leaving at 4:30.
I just can't
okay.
say too much.
Is there anything else you would like to say?
No, I just wanted to hear the rest of the discussion.
Okay. Who else wants to talk? I mean, we could talk about Dr. Gates, and we should ad nauseum. But we do have this business on the table about next steps. Anyone else want to? Laura?
Actually, I was going to say that Checker and I have a resolution we'd like to propose to the board.
Okay.
I think members of the board have copies in front of them. Two of the grumpy bureaucrats on the board drafted a resolution during the break, a proposed resolution. I think the wording can surely be improved, but let me mention the 5 points that it tries to make. The first point is that the executive order, in our opinion, creates constraints that will damage the education of some children. The second, it reminds the world that under statutory and judicial precedent, as quoted by the Court of Appeals, the board is invested with the last word on matters such as this. The third is that the executive order creates very limited scope for waivers for schools and directs the department to proceed with as quickly as possible to arrange to let eligible schools know that they can get these. The fourth says that others who have a problem constrained by the executive order are going to have to find other routes to deal with their the problem. And finally, it takes a suggestion in the executive order and cites a piece in the Maryland Code which encourages the state board to consider and explore innovative calendars and uses of time in school for purposes of improving student achievement. We respectfully offer this for consideration by the board as a possible board resolution.
Terrific. Well, I have one idea about how to move forward on this. So this is in five different parts. Mm-hmm. Number three, which directs, which recognizes that the executive order has a limited scope for waivers, but we need to give districts some guidance, and we're going to direct MSDE to proceed accordingly, especially expeditiously, given the timing. I suggest we pull that out and deal with that immediately, unless people really want to have a long discussion. That seems to be something that is straightforward. Does anyone object to that? We'll just deal with that one up front. Okay, so Checker, do you want to make a motion on that one?
Sure. Move what's now paragraph 3 in the draft in front of you. The executive order is amended, creates very limited scope for waivers to be issued to schools, including charter schools and districts. We direct MSDE to proceed expeditiously to make known the procedures whereby eligible schools and districts may obtain such waivers for the 2017-18 school year without further board action.
Okay, so the way that I am interpreting this is that we recognize that we do not have a meeting until December. Districts need to act quickly. We are telling MSDE faithfully execute the executive order as it is written so districts know, for example, how to apply, whatever kind of criteria you have to define. So this is our executing on this. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion on this? Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, all opposed, abstentions. Okay, now on these other matters. Dr. Finn, you were the one who proposed this. Is there anything you would like to say about the other four pieces? Maybe the final one, but could use some explanation as written.
The executive order served a constructive purpose, which was to remind us of a provision in statute under which the board is to proceed to explore the quote that's in writing in front of you. I don't think I need to read it. We ask Dr. Salmon, MSDE, to undertake a study of options and alternatives as well as relevant research to assist us in this matter and to provide at our next meeting a timetable by which we can proceed in this direction. So ask them to basically assist us with a plan for, because this is potentially a big project, to explore the uses of time and calendars and schedules and so forth in the education of children in Maryland. And it's not something I expect to be done quickly.
Can I just add two sentences?
Please.
I think what we were trying to do in drafting this was to provide both a path forward, which we just voted on, but also some unified statement from the board as we have struggled to process what role is left to us and what authority we have to exercise and how we can respond as a board. So I'm sure there are many different thoughts around the table, but we tried to pull together the points on which we thought there was, consensus to represent the feelings of the board and the desire to make some kind of statement.
Anyone else have thoughts on this? So if I'm reading this correctly, this is the statute that was alluded to in the second executive order, mm-hmm. And it is a statute passed by the legislature several years ago that encouraged the State Board of Education to think broadly about different school schedules. Mm-hmm. So what we are doing with this is pivoting off of the executive order and saying this is part of a much larger conversation of how to use time, what are the best ways for schools and districts to think about that. So we're asking Dr. Salmon and her staff to come back to us with some recommendations about a bigger subject, about what kind of guidance should this board give in the subject of time, use of time, schools and districts. Does that faithfully represent what you're trying to do?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I think so moved. Is there a second on this?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstentions? Great. Okay. Those are just two. All right. Any other pieces of this that anyone wants to raise or discuss more fully?
I have a question.
Please.
The executive order poses some problems, I think, for school systems in that by post-Labor Day start, one of the big issues is post-secondary classes. We have students that do concurrent enrollment. Either they go to a community college or the community college classes are taught in our high school. So how do we address if this is law and we have to support this for the next school year, how do we address this coming school year when you will have students that are going to do concurrent enrollment starting after the college classes actually start? That's a big issue for the school system to face.
So if I may, Barbara, this is one thing that actually I commented about in my resignation letter, that this executive order is actually quite remarkable in that the effects that it might have actually are at both ends of the spectrum. There's a lot of data about loss, that time spent out of school for our most at-risk students during the summer diminishes learning as you try to gear back up. But at the other end, for our most ambitious students who are enrolled in these dual enrollment programs, you again have a diminution of the opportunity of education. So to me, this is just an utterly remarkable construction. And as I said, I mentioned this in the letter, and I hope this board, interfacing with MHEC, will figure out some solutions here. But it's amazing to me that you could get both of these effects out of one policy move.
And I guess it's really a question whether or not it affects student learning. And we delve into that with this, looking at the calendar or the timing of school. I mean, this is something that we need to question right now. What are we telling the LEAs and what are we telling students for the fall that, have signed up or will be attending post-secondary or the concurrent enrollment classes? They can't do it. Do you think, do we have to address this, with them before school starts in the fall?
Well, my thoughts, if I may, I am going to be meeting with the superintendents the first week of December, be the next meeting time. I can ask PZAM to have some conversation about this. They'll be meeting Friday. We can get their input to see if they've thought about possible solutions. I know some of the classes are offered within the LEAs, so the students can, they can work on scheduling with the college. But as we know, many of the colleges are starting as early as August the 20th all the way through to the 26th and 27th of August, so it will present some problems. So I'm going to talk to Renee Spence and see if they can have a conversation on Friday and then provide some input back to the board at our next meeting, at least on that particular item. There's others, but that one is the one that I think we're having trouble wrapping our head around at this point.
Okay, any other thoughts on that? Okay. I just have a question about the second part of the resolution. There's something in quotes, "The last word on any matter concerning education policy or the administration of the system of public education." Do you know, from what is that quoting?
I know where it comes from. It comes from the case of Prince George's versus Wilder versus Prince George's. I can give you the exact reference, and it's about 1964.
I believe this was from the highest court in the state, but Liz would know that better than I.
Yes, in fact, you know, when we talk about your authority, and that is the courts in Maryland have been very clear, and that is a quote from, and again, you're probably better at remembering the name of the case than I am, but it is a quote from a court of appeals case.
Okay, so by passing what is written here in the second one, what we are doing is underscoring language that has been used by the state's highest court about the authority of the board.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anyone want to move that? A motion?
Moved.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Say aye. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. All right, so as I read this, the three things that we've done so far is we have moved to faithfully execute the executive order as it is written. We have pivoted off of the executive order to start a larger conversation about the use of time, and we underscored longstanding precedent on the authority of this board. Okay. If anyone else wants to talk about these other two, so be it. But I feel comfortable that we have had a say on this at this point. There are two other provisions here, if anyone wants to talk about them. So are people comfortable leaving it as is, what we have just done, passing three resolutions about the State Board's historical authority, use of time, and faithful execution of the executive order? The floor is open in case anybody would like to offer something else or add additional comments.
My only comment is that I'm sad that we are in this situation, because one of the great joys of my last 7 years as I've gone around the country, and as Checker says, we've met at various and sundry meetings about education. I could always brag about education in Maryland, and now I worry about it, and that makes me extraordinarily sad.
Okay. Let me just pause here so people can collect their breaths or say anything else that needs to be said, because we'll need to move on. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for your attention and for your kind words. For